Welcome back to TechNet Radio. IT pro guru Dan Stoltz welcomes Clyde Johnson from the Boston Area Windows Server User Group as they discuss and demo for us Hyper-V Replica found in Windows Server 2012. Tune in as they give an overview of what Hyper-V Replica is, why it's important for businesses as a disaster recovery solution, as well as how to get started and implement this free service in your IT environment. Dan, the mic is yours.
Greetings and welcome. This is Dan Stoltz, IT Pro Guru. I am here today for TechNet Radio with IT Pro Guru versus Hyper-V Replica with Clyde Johnson. Hi, Clyde. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Dan?
Very good. I trust your holidays were superb?
Yes, they were excellent.
Awesome. So maybe you can just start us off before we jump into some really awesome technologies with Windows Server 2012. Maybe tell us a little about yourself, what your involvement is. I know you're really heavily involved with the community, so I've heard you do presentations on this topic as well as others. So maybe tell us a little bit about what you do for work and for your community engagements.
Well, like I said, my name is Clyde Johnson. I'm a senior network manager for a software as a service company. We use a lot of Windows technologies in our environment, including half a dozen Windows Server 2012s right now, and we're doing a fast rollout of that software. I'm also the president of the Boston Area Windows Server User Group, and we have monthly meetings up in Cambridge every month.
Awesome, excellent. And what's your web address for your user group?
www.windowsboston.org. You can also find us under Meetup with Windows Boston.
Awesome. Excellent. So I guess whenever we talk about Hyper-V Replica, one of the things that impresses me most about Hyper-V Replica is the fact that it's free. I mean, it comes with Windows Server. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about how, whenever you're teaching about Replica, what are some of the highlights, some of the big things that you like about the feature, and then in a few minutes we'll get down and dirty with the feature and see how it works and why it works.
Well, one of the things I like about Hyper-V Replica is that you can use it for DR purposes. You can have it's basically a way to have a saved, turned-off copy of your virtual machine at a remote location or even up in the cloud on one of the cloud providers. It is a beautiful way to do DR and to make sure that you have a good backup of your Hyper-V machines. There's nothing better than knowing that you have a saved copy of your Hyper-V that's kept up to date up in a cloud provider, in case your location goes belly up.
So is it a backup or is it a disaster recovery or is it both?
It's a little bit of both. I would consider it more of a disaster recovery piece than a backup, because I mean it does do a backup, but it's limited in that. It is more of a disaster recovery as far as I'm concerned, and it's one of the best things for the disaster recovery it is.
Yeah, and I understand that it also works with replication. Replication in terms of like failover clustering and stuff like that. So the replication works even if you're on a cluster, but you don't have to be on a cluster. So some interesting things there, which makes it good for enterprises as well as good for small and medium-sized businesses. You know, prior to setting up this topic, one of the things that I looked at was, other replication scenarios, and I was really kind of dumbfounded at the cost of some of the cost associated with replication. Replication seems to be a very, very expensive thing to do. So it's kind of amazing that Microsoft decided to put that in the box. I'm sure some people are not happy about that. But whenever you talk about replication, I guess what you're talking about really is having a real-time synchronization of your server. Is that kind of like a cluster, but not really? It's an offline cluster, maybe, if you will. If it is the synchronization, how often does it synchronize, and is that configurable?
It is configurable, and by default, I believe it's every 15 minutes. And like you said, it is one of the it is something that's going to be taken away from some of the big vendors. It is so awesome that Microsoft has put this into the operating system for free, because now we can start doing stuff that used to cost, you know, $15,000, $20,000 a year to do.
Yep. So what about maintenance? Is there a lot of maintenance with this feature? Is there a lot of things that the administrator, you know, once he starts implementing Replica services, is there, you know, an extra layer of maintenance that he has to do on a daily or weekly basis?
There is not. I mean, basically, once you get this set up, you can pretty much just leave it and forget it. The only thing I'd really recommend is keep an eye on your disk space, because that's the only thing you're using really at the other end of the wire. When you start looking at this technology, the only things you really have to worry about is the bandwidth between the two locations and the disk space at the far end of your replication.
So,
but other than that, there is nothing you have to configure really or keep an eye on except for that.
Awesome. Well, when you talk about bandwidth, what kind of bandwidth does it need? Is it making a copy of the file every 15 minutes, or, you know, of the VHD files, or how does that work?
No, actually doing a block-level replication of your data, so it's only going to push across the wire those actual blocks that have changed.
Okay, awesome. And so if it will go from my network to a cloud provider or another network, presumably that means there's no issues with, you know, replicating over long distances or across buildings, across the internet, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, basically it's a very good WAN sync utility. It goes across the WAN without any issues at all, as far as I can tell.
So that I can see where replication can be pretty small packets, particularly if it's doing it at the block level. But what about that initial sync? If you've got a, you know, if you've got a 30 gig server and you've got a slow connection, is you know, what are your options for being able to migrate over to, you know, that initial sync that's going to be huge?
Well, basically, there's three options. You can let it sync across the wire, which, as you said, is very huge and would take a long time if you've got a decent-sized server. The other thing is that it does let you do a pre-seed. You can actually seed your data by copying on a USB drive, taking it to the local, to wherever you're replicating to, and then loading it in. You can also pick a VHD that's already on the machine and use it as a seed to your replication.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Now, can you do is it only for disaster, and how does it work? Whenever your primary server goes down, does it automatically come up, or do you have to turn it on? What actually happens in that scenario?
Basically, when your primary server goes down, you would have to log on to the Hyper-V machine that you're hosting the offline copy on and actually turn it on. Now, there are plenty of PowerShell commands around this utility so that you can automate the heck out of both the replication and the failover if you wish.
Okay. So you could do a poor man's failover using scripting, I guess is what you're saying.
Yeah, and in fact, that's one of the things that I do plan on doing in the coming couple of months, is to get that up and running. So when my file server, for instance, fails at one location, it'll automatically come up at the other location.
Excellent.
DR location that I'm calling it.
So are there any other considerations on what machines can or can't be replicated? Is it, you know, are there limitations on the hardware that the guest has, as an example, or anything like that?
I would say that the only limitations would probably be that you can't use any pass-through disks. You basically have to use VHDs on the guest in order for this to work. If you use a pass-through disk, you would probably have to find some other way to replicate your data.
Excellent. Okay, so presumably, when you say VHD, you also, I presume, would work with the VHDX, the new, you know, high-capacity disk format?
Yes.
Okay. I understand also that there's ways to do network throttling for QoS for your replication traffic, and you know, that it sounds very appealing to me, particularly in places where you don't want to, you want to make sure it doesn't hit your network hard with network traffic for your replication. So it looks like Microsoft has done a really good job of kind of covering a lot of the different bases of what typically happens, and you know, in all the different types of environments that, you know, this utility will be used in.
Yes, they have. I mean, basically, the DR site that I plan on putting my replicas onto actually charges me for the bandwidth. So me being able to limit the bandwidth under, you know, eight meg a day really does help.
Now, can you resync a replica after your original comes back online, or do you have to copy the whole machine over? How does that work?
You can basically, once you fail over, you can actually sync back to your original copy once it comes online, and then fail over at your leisure back to the original Hyper-V host, which
Excellent.
Is one of the very beautiful things that Microsoft has decided to implement in this technology.
Yeah, from a use case scenario, I can see where, you know, even for a small business or the medium-sized businesses that can't really afford, a large-scale type of an environment where they could use this even in-house to have real-time backup. So their high-priority servers, maybe it's their, you know, their website, or maybe it's their, you know, Exchange server or some other, you know, business application, where if it goes down, they have big problems, and where they could have on another piece of hardware that same server, or copy that server that's minutes or hours old, depending on how often they synchronize. I can see how that would be pretty beneficial in lots of different scenarios, and also in the enterprise. In the enterprise, it's kind of obvious that there's huge benefits there.
Yes, it is. There is. Now, for small businesses, one of the great things they can do is they can actually replicate and synchronize their Hyper-V machines to a cloud provider, and the cloud provider can have that data waiting there and be able to turn on and use when they need it. I think that's going to be great for small businesses, because when something like Sandy comes in and, you know, wipes out the entire town that they're in, they can still have all their data and all their what they need to run their business up in the cloud in, you know, Colorado or California or even Australia, and they can connect back up to their data and actually continue with their business. They don't lose everything if their town or their state takes a major hit from a natural disaster.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that's something that just happened so very recently in our neck of the woods up here in Massachusetts, where lots of things got shut down. You know, it astonishes me that so many companies don't have a plan for disaster recovery, any kind of disaster recovery plan. And I think largely that is because of the exorbitant cost. I mean, it just costs so much. Well, up until now, it costs so much to do disaster recovery that companies just said they'll roll the dice. And now this gives them the capability of being able to do that, you know, have a plan without, you know, having to just concede that they have no choice but to roll the dice. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the cool thing about the Microsoft technology is that you don't have to, when you do replicate or synchronize up to the cloud, you're paying for the disk and you're paying for the bandwidth, and you can limit the pay-in for the bandwidth, so you're not paying any compute charges. The computer's not turned on, so you don't have to pay for the processor. So it makes it cheaper than a lot of the other data synchronization that you have to actually pay for compute power to have the machine on in order to replicate into it. So I think service providers are going to start hopping on the bandwagon real quick and start offering this to small businesses, and not only small businesses, But maybe even at the consumer level, since our friends actually put the Hyper-V into the Windows 8 platform.
Yeah, excellent. Great point. So I thought maybe we'd take a couple minutes just to take a look at Hyper-V and show everybody where those settings are. Does that work for you?
That works for me.
So, Clyde, this is what I have. I'm working off of a server. That, in my case, it's up in a hosted data center. And I have this DS replica demo machine. And just kind of want to show everybody around, show our viewers around. Under Hyper-V settings in the upper right-hand corner under the Actions pane, if you go to Hyper-V settings, and then you go down to Replication Configuration, this is where all the configuration is for the server itself. So this is for the destination computer. So on VDI, this computer that I'm on right now, I have already enabled this computer as a replica server or as a receiver of replica machines, a target for replicas. And I put a default location of where that can be put in. You can change the methods for authentication and stuff like that as well. So some cool stuff in terms of the configuration and how you initially set it up. You can also only allow replication for individual servers. So if you want some servers to be able to send their replicas here but not have others, this is the way you would configure that, by just allowing only certain servers to replicate to this box. Now, I've already got this set up. I've got two machines. I've got development and I've got VDI. And what I want to show is this DS replica demo. This is a Windows Server 2012 machine running on VDI server. And if I switch over to development, you'll see that I do not have that server anywhere on this machine. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and enable replication by right-clicking and enable replication. And it's going to step us through a wizard. And in the wizard, I'm going to go ahead and tell it which server I'm going to replicate to. In my case, I'm going to do development and then click Next. It's going to ask me my type of authentication and whether or not I want to use compression over the network. I'm going to keep the defaults. And it's going to ask me which hard drives I want to replicate. And, you know, I only have one on this, so that's the one I'm going to replicate. And I can also do, I can tell how many recovery points I want. Only the last recovery point basically is going to overwrite prior replicas with this replica. Whereas if I do additional recovery points, then consider it like a volume shadow snapshot, where it will do an incremental snapshot, and I can have multiple restore points once I do that. In my case, I'm just going to do one, and I'm going to go ahead and click through the wizard. Now I can send an initial copy over the network. Or I can use external media like you talked about earlier, you know, using an external hard drive. And I can start the replication immediately, or I can start at a particular date and time. So if I wanted it to start, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, I could set that up no problem. And when I hit next, I just get a summary of my selections. I click finish, and it actually starts the replication process. So you'll see in my status that it's sending initial replica. What it's doing is it's actually sending it over to the development server. If I go to development, you'll see that it is receiving that replica. So it's 26% done. And once it gets the replica, Clyde, you want to tell us quickly what's going to be here whenever this is finished? What's the state of the machine going to be in?
The state of the machine is going to be off, and it's going to stay off. And it will start replicating any changes in the original machine to this machine every 15 minutes.
Okay, excellent. So I'm going to go ahead and I wonder if I can get into the settings while I'm here. So notice I can pause replication, I can cancel the initial replication, I can view the replication health, or I can remove replication. So I'm going to let this go, and this will probably only take a couple of minutes. Seems to be going pretty fast. This is a fairly small machine. I think it's only about 8 or 9 gigs, something like that. So it's a pretty small machine, and it's over a local area connection. So I'm not going over a WAN or a slow Ethernet connection. So let's try your theory out that I'm going to switch over to development and see that the machine is off. I do indeed see that it's off. So whenever, if I wanted to bring this up, I would just right-click and start the machine. I guess all would be well, and it would be the same machine as it was whenever I made that initial snapshot. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that now because you'd have two machines with the same IP address and the same name on the network. So I would turn this one off, the one on the VDI server, before I turn the other one on. Because you got to remember, these are exact copies of each other.
Excellent point. So let me go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and just, I'm going to go ahead and do a graceful shutdown, because that's the kind of IT guy I am. And then once I have a successful shutdown over here, of course I could have done a hard, simulate a hard shutdown, but no sense in hosting and, taking a chance on corrupting my system. And let me see if I can do it from this machine or if I have to go there. I can right-click and start. Yeah, I can't do it from this system, so I'll have to log into development in order to do that. Okay, now that I'm logged into the development server, I can right-click on my server, go down to replication, and I can either test the failover or I can actually fail over. In my case, I want to actually fail over because my other server is offline, and it gives me my restore points. Now, in my case, I only have one restore point because we only did one replication and we didn't set up any extra restore points. So I can go ahead and fail over, and it will bring the machine back up, and notice it actually created a snapshot in that process as well, and we're up and running on the failed over copy of the virtual machine. Now, Clyde, you had mentioned something earlier, I think, about remote administration. Can you tell me a little bit about remote administration so I wouldn't have to go to the development server to do that? I could have done it from VDI.
Yeah, you could have done it from VDI if you had enabled Kerberos constraint. Constrained delegation for Hyper-V management. That way you can do everything from one machine.
Okay,
and
awesome.
This is something you would do in an Active Directory environment so that you can manage all your Hyper-V and manage all your tasks from one machine.
That has the, I need a blog post written all over it, so I will have to do some significant research on that, or if you want to volunteer, we'll create a blog post and share that detail step-by-step on how to do that with the world. So with that, do you have anything else you'd like to share about Hyper-V, Hyper-V Replica?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to share to everybody that this is one heck of a technology that Microsoft has put in the box, that it's free and clear. You can start using this as soon as you get your first Hyper-V host up and running. Well, your second Hyper-V host up and running anyway, because you need two Hyper-V hosts in order to do this. And the really cool thing about it is that it doesn't really care what the guest is. This is all done by the host, so it doesn't matter what operating system you happen to have running inside the guest. You can still use this technology.
Yeah, and just one other thing that I wanted to make sure that everybody knows is those two Hyper-V hosts both need to be Windows Server 2012, because the source and the target server both need to be on 2012 in order to support the Hyper-V Replica feature. So if you have Hyper-V, you have Replica, and some very, very cool technology. So, Clyde, one of the things that I do in this in my TechNet Radio series is I, at the end of the presentation, I give out a guru tip. So my guru tip of the day, I think, is going to be, try Hyper-V Replica. It is an incredible, cost-effective disaster recovery device. And, I want to thank you for spending the day, spending some time with us and my audience, and, keep us posted on other technologies that you're working with in your office, and hope you, the rest of your new year is a wonderful one. Thanks a lot for joining us, Clyde.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I love speaking about Windows Server 2012 and all its new features, and you have a good new year as well.
Great, thanks. And just to remind everybody, Clyde's website is windowsboston.org. Thanks, Clyde.